This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We apologize again. Jacob, we got to get that Ants marching garbage out of the rotation.
And really, we should have had some Zeppelin.
We should have had some Zeppelin for Tony, our guest, Tony Pauline of the Pro Football Network. Tony joined us last year at the Combine. I've talked to Tony over the years, going back to our days with Scout. And Tony, how you doing?
I'm okay. I miss seeing you guys at the Combine, and I miss my Zeppelin conversations with Matt. They're always interesting.
No question, bud.
This is an interesting time of the year, especially for people like yourself who are focused in on the draft. And, Tony, I've got your big board up here in front of me. And, of course, like everybody else, you have Trevor Lawrence number one on your big board. But you have some interesting guys after that. And this that everybody has, for the most part, has Trevor Lawrence number one.
Sure.
I've seen a couple of guys, like Chris Sims, I think, had Kyle Zach Wilson ahead of him. But that order of those other guys in the top 10 kind of depends on who's ranking them.
I would say so. Plus, you know, I mean, a lot of these guys, we did not have the combine this year, so these guys didn't get to work out, whether it be the testing, whether it be the positional drills. We are basically solely relying on the pro day workouts. And, you know, most of those guys, except for really Devonta Smith in my top 10, are all underclassmen. And when you have underclassmen, it means you have a lack of really concrete information on many of these guys. So you rank them the way you see them, and then you've got to adjust as those true measurables, the true 40 times, things like that start to pour in.
Well, not only that, but I'm looking here, and the guys you have ranked right after Trevor Lawrence, Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell, also opted out.
Absolutely. So you're relying on 2019 film. I think the opt-out really isn't going to hurt those guys that much because – literally from the time both of those players, Chase and Sewell, stepped on the field as freshmen, you knew they were big-time prospects because of the way they played. So you would have preferred that they played in 2020. I think there were other players who opted out, who kind of hurt themselves, and we'll find out on draft day. But, yeah, I mean, you make a good point. Whether it's Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell, Celeb Farley further down the line, and some of the other guys that opted out, you're going to have to rely on old information or at least old film to come to your grade and come to your opinion on the player.
Tony, I want to have all kinds of draft stuff I want to bounce off you, but Tony's also really dialed in with the league and rumors and stuff going on behind the scenes. I know you have a Deshaun Watson take or possible destination, or what's your thoughts on that situation right now?
When the whole situation broke and Deshaun Watson said he wanted to be traded and there were inklings that he wanted out of Houston, everybody was pointing the finger or figuring he was on his way to the New York Jets, who probably need a quarterback, have a ton of draft capital to move. And really with Joe Douglas, it would be Joe Douglas's quarterback. And Jet fans here in New York wanted that trade to happen a month ago. That's very unlikely to happen. People in the media believe that he's going to end up in Miami. Miami also has some draft capital. They got the third pick of this year's draft. They've got Tua, who, if they trade for Deshaun Watson, obviously it's very likely Tua will be in that included in the package. So you're looking at, you know, a pair of top five picks plus additional draft selections being moved to Houston. But the more and more I talk to people inside the league, the more and more they say, if he gets moved, he's going to end up in Carolina because the Carolina owner, David Tepper, is hell-bent on bringing Deshaun Watson to Carolina. And this was the same guy who I think surprised everybody and wouldn't let Matt Rhule out of the building a year ago before signing him to a huge contract and giving him almost an abundant amount of powers. So everybody, it's not just the owner, though. Everyone else, the new general manager, Scott Fritterer, the head coach, they all seem to be in line with bringing Deshaun Watson to Carolina. So league insiders tell me, they've told me for a couple of weeks now that Carolina, they feel Carolina is probably a slight favorite right now if a trade happens for Deshaun Watson. But nothing is imminent. It's not like it's going to happen in a week or so. Obviously, you know, Deshaun Watson's in the headlines these days. You'll have to wait and see what happens with that. I think it'll be, if he's moved, it will be much closer to draft weekend.
Our guest is Tony Pauline of the Pro Football Network. And to your point with that, Tony, I think right now he's untradeable. As good as he is, he could be looking at a very long suspension here.
Potentially. You know, these are allegations, and they're just that, and there's no criminal investigation as of yet. So, you know.
Hey, we're in Pittsburgh, Tony. We saw Ben Roethlisberger get suspended for 6 games for with no criminal charges filed.
I understand that. And, again, these are allegations at this point in time. We'll just leave it at that. I mean, I still don't know that he's undraftable, because even if he's suspended, there's going to be a team that says, okay, listen, you know, we saw what happened with Kareem Hunt. We'll wait out that suspension and bring the guy in if, in fact, that happens.
Tony, people can find your quarterback rankings in this draft, but your hunch, what order do you think they'll end up falling, you know, whether you agree with it or not?
I think it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, number one. I think that's really part of the reason why Urban Meyer took that job in Jacksonville. I think Zach Wilson is going to go number two to the New York Jets. It gets a little hazy after that. I think Trey Lance could be selected before Justin Fields. Then it'll be Mac Jones. The sleeper right now, when I say sleeper, the guy who can make a big move and maybe peek into the late part of the first round is Kellen Mond of Texas A&M, who's been gaining a lot of traction and a lot of momentum the past couple of weeks.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was my sleeper. Matt and I do a triple take with another guy that in the media here in Pittsburgh for thesteelers.com, and he was my sleeper quarterback. Really liked what I mean, he didn't have a great week of Senior Bowl practices, but I thought he played well in the game, and that's, to me, I put more weight on what they do, you know, after having all that stuff thrown at them over the course of the Senior Bowl week. If he can go out there and play in the game, that means a little bit more to me. But, Tony, the Steelers sitting at 24, and they just, of course, brought back Juju Smith-Schuster, but also said that, hey, we're gonna allow Steven Nelson to explore a trade. Does that move cornerback into the equation for them at 24?
It may, although I think, you know, one of the top cornerbacks like a J.C. Horn or somebody would have to fall to them in order for a cornerback to be selected there. Maybe a Kelvin Joseph of Kentucky, if he runs well, he fits that system. But with the holes on the offensive line, I think that's an area that they're really going to have to address. And the fact is, very likely when they are called to the clock, you know, whatever offensive tackle is still on the board is going to be rated significantly higher than any other cornerback that would be on the board at that time.
Tony, we often use the exceptional Pro Football Network mock draft simulator here on this show, and I know you got some things to do with that. Often at 24, we end up with Javonte Williams or Najee Harris, mostly because we feel like there's a big drop-off to the other bell cow type backs. Tackle makes tons of sense. Do you have a preference between Williams and Harris, and is it distinctive to you at this point?
It's Najee Harris all along. It always has been. I feel he's the number one back in this draft, as I said all along. He's a mid-first-round talent who I think plays a day-two position. He's much more complete than Javonte Williams. I like Javonte Williams. I love Najee Harris. He's bigger than Javonte Williams. He's definitely better around the corner than Javonte Williams. Better pass catcher. Really a three down back. And you know, while I like Javonte Williams, it could be for the better. It could not be. It may be for the worse. Remember, he shared the ball at North Carolina with Michael Carter, where Najee Harris was the back, the number one ball carrier at Alabama for 4 years, and he knows what it means to be a feature runner at the next level. I think both players are good, you know, would be terrific fits for the Steelers system, but I like Najee Harris better.
Tony, one thing that that we've looked at recently is this inside linebacker position in this year's draft, and I think it's kind of the most more underrated position in this year's draft. I when we were studying these guys, I was coming up with 10, 11, 12 guys that I looked at. And, boy, that guy would look good. That guy looks – I like the way he moves in space. It's just a lot of depth at that position this year, and I don't think anybody's really talking about it.
And there's a lot of versatility. I mean, there's a lot of three-down defenders. You look at Jeremiah – I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name.
Owosu Koramora.
Thank you. From Notre Dame. I mean, he's obviously at the top. I like Dylan Moses of Alabama a lot. I know he didn't play or he didn't have the great stats this year coming off the knee injury, but he was asked more to stay with responsibility, stay with more, you know, gap assignments and that sort of things rather than making plays on the ball. Baron Browning of Ohio State, great athlete developing into a football player. Jabril Cox of LSU by way of North Dakota State, another three-down defender. And then even later on, you got sleepers. Make sure you watch Derek Barnes of Purdue. Slightly under 6'1", 245 pounds. He runs well. He's a heavy hitter. He's instinctive. Stacks well against the run. Can drop in the coverage. You know, his tape at Purdue was outstanding. When I was sitting with scouts at the Senior Bowl, they were amazed how easily he was able to stick with running backs and tight ends downfield and coverage drills. So I would agree with you. I mean, some of these guys, Ernest Jones of South Carolina, a guy who's more of a, you know, two-down run defender, but he's very good at that. You'll be able to get, I believe, inside linebackers through day three of the draft. Justin Hilliard of Ohio State, a guy who wasn't even mentioned coming into the season, had a knockout campaign in 2020. Now he looks like a mid-day three selection.
The opposite seems to be true at defensive tackle, no matter what size and shape you're after. I mean, whether it's a longer Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt type, or a nose, or somewhere in between, those lines are blurrier than ever. I mean, I certainly don't think the Steelers are going that direction super early in the draft, but is there two or three guys that, you know, maybe would be some value? It's a rough group.
Yeah, no first-rounders. I mean, some people have Christian Barmore going in the first round. I still grade him as a second-round prospect. All of these guys have issues in one way or another in their game. Barmore, he's really not very strong at the point of attack. He's more of a first-step lineman. The kid from Washington, he's explosive. He's quick, but he's not a real stout sort of defensive tackle at 290 pounds. I like Davion Nixon a lot. But I think he's going to be pegged as a two-down defensive lineman, not a good pass rusher. I don't think that's correct. You know, if you're looking for a guy later on in the draft, day three, Ali McNeil of North Carolina State is a guy to keep an eye on. Only goes about 6'1", 310 pounds, but he moves exceptionally well, shows the ability, you know, to hold the point. I'm not
Dale compares him to Javon Hargrave a lot. I think that's a good comparison.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the way Marvin Wilson of Florida State has played the past 2 years, but if you go back to Marvin Wilson's film as a sophomore, I mean, he looked like he was going to be the next coming and the next great lineman from the Florida State program, 6'3 and a half, 319 pounds, and he's athletic. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting in his head and figuring what's going on and can you get him back to the level he was in 2018. And even, you know, later on in the draft, a guy like Naquan Jones of Michigan State, as I said to a scout yesterday, and he agreed with me, Naquan Jones is a third-round talent who plays like a free agent. So it's just a matter of, you know, getting between the ears, lighting a fire underneath his rear end, and getting him to play up to his level of ability. If you can do that, you got a real good player on your hands.
What about the guy who just worked out yesterday, Milton Williams out of Louisiana Tech? Just put up ridiculous numbers, but has some, you know, obvious drawbacks, short arms, that kind of stuff. But obviously, athletically, you could be getting a steal there, you know, on day three.
Oh, well,
maybe not day three after what he did yesterday.
You know, and again, if you've been following us at Pro Football Network, I've been on this guy actually since last summer. But I talked about how he's going to test off the charts in December when he announced that he was going to enter the draft. He's going to go very early. I don't think short arms is a big issue for defensive linemen. Some people like him at defensive line, some defensive end. Some people like him at defensive tackle. You know, the thing with Williams was, he didn't have any gaudy stats last year, and I wondered about that. How a guy that's so big and so athletic and so explosive, you know, the stat sheet wasn't that great. I was told by people at Louisiana Tech, the reason is he wasn't asked to make plays. He was asked to basically occupy the gaps, occupy the blockers, and let his teammates run to the ball.
Well, that's just bad coaching.
Yeah, right. Well, I asked that. And the funny thing is let's take it one step further. It was the same situation a year ago with a guy by the name of Jarius Sneed, the defensive back from Louisiana Tech, who was a knockout corner as a sophomore and junior. Then they moved him more to a safety position where they asked him just to patrol center field, and he really made no plays in 2019. The Kansas City Chiefs watched the earlier film on him, took him in the fourth round, and he turned out to, you know, they used him the way he should be used, and he was turned out to be one of the, you know, the better defensive rookie defensive backs last year. So it's sort of that situation. I think right now, I had a coach call me from who was leaving the workout this morning, who was traveling, who was just all excited. You know, now they're talking about him being an early second-round pick. I'm going to take my foot off the throttle on that. I think he's going to be gone, though, by the middle of round three.
It's amazing how often that happens in the scouting circles, using these guys right. A guy I'm not sure you can use wrong is Kyle Pitts. I don't know that I've ever seen a tight end like him, and I got hired by the Browns the day after they took Kellen Winslow and Vernon Davis and a lot of these high picks. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone like him. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, a tight end, you happen to have a day three guy that you have a little soft spot for?
Well, I mean, if you go back to Kyle Pitts, it's not only, you know, people talk about what Kyle Pitts has done on film, and I understand that, but just watch who he's done it against. I mean, if you go to the SEC title game when Florida played Alabama and Nick Saban lined up Patrick Surtain time after time in man coverage against Kyle Pitts, couldn't stop him. South Carolina lined up J.C. Horn, who's a first-round cornerback against him, couldn't stop him. Georgia's got two terrific tight ends in Stokes and Thompson that are going to be early second-round choices. They couldn't stop him. As far as a day three sort of tight end, John Bates out of Boise State, not the fastest guy in the world, but a terrific blocker who's very efficient catching the ball. Trey McKitty out of Georgia did not run earlier this week at Georgia's Pro Day. He's going to run on April 7th, I believe. He's a guy who's a terrific blocker, solid pass catcher, day three pick, not the fastest guy in the world, but can catch the ball. I like Granson of SMU. I also like Nick Eubanks of Michigan, who early in his career showed a lot of skill. He looks like a power forward on the football. But like we've seen a lot with Michigan prospects under Jim Harbaugh, they just don't seem to develop. They seem to kind of hit a wall, and that's it. And that's the thing with that's the same thing with Nick Eubanks. He's got size. He's got speed. He's shown some pass-catching hands, but his game fell flat last year. If you get him to develop from where he was in 2018, 2019, you're going to have a real good tight end on your hands.
Our guest, Tony Paulina, the Pro Football Network. And Tony, center is an interesting position on day two this year. I don't know if we'll see any take it on day one of the draft. How do you stack the center position in this draft?
I think Creed Humphrey could actually slide into the late part of round one. Creed Humphrey of Oklahoma. He's a 312-pound guy, ran 5.09 at his pro day. He plays athletic football. He's smart. He's heady. I've drawn comparisons to Nick Mangold at equal points in the career when Nick Mangold was a first-round pick by the New York Jets, and a lot of people in the league have agreed with me. After that,
boy, Mangold was one of the best center prospects I've ever seen.
Creed Humphrey is terrific. Yeah. I mean, Creed Humphrey is. And he's been good for 3 years at Oklahoma. He probably could have entered the draft last year and would have been the first center selected. You know, he's smart, he's tough, but he's very good on his feet. He would be very good in a zone system where you're asking your lineman to get out front and block. It's a decent crop of centers. Josh Myers of Ohio State is my second-rated center. I have him as a second-round pick. Michael Minette, who gets a lot, who is well-liked in the scouting community, I have him as a third-rounder. Trey Hill of Georgia is more of a day three pick, coming off a slight injury, a guy who I thought played better in 2019 than he did in 2020. And a lot of people like Drew Dahlman of Stanford. I didn't mention Landon Dickerson, I think, of Alabama, who a lot of people love. I think on film, Landon Dickerson is a day two prospect, but his medical history is awful. I mean, he barely played the first 3 years. He was at Florida State because of injuries, got injured in the semifinal game this year. And when you have a guy that's 340 pounds and can't stay healthy, that's an issue.
Yeah, it's a real problem. What about Kendrick Green of Illinois? I know he played played some guard this year, but he's played center in the past and
tested well
at his pro day.
Yeah, he is a big, tough guy. I have him right now as a fourth-round guard. You want to move him back to center, that's fine. He's smart. He's very strong at the point of attack, gets a lot of movement, run blocking. I think right now I actually have him as an early fourth-round choice on my guard board. You want to move him over to center, it's fine. And fine, it's funny because I have him ranked ahead of another guard center type of lineman in Jack Anderson of Texas Tech, tall guy, 6'5", 309 pounds, who had a real good week of practice at the Senior Bowl.
Tony, if the Steelers would miss out on Najee or Javonte, is there a 220-pound every down back you like later? I mean, Trey Sermon, Ramondre Stevenson, any of those type of dudes?
Mike Trey Sermon, I think he's going to be drafted more so in the third round.
His best receiving days are ahead of him?
His best receiving days are ahead of him. I think his best game overall is ahead of him.
Okay.
You know, regardless of whether it's receiving or catching the ball. As far as 220-pound type backs, I'll give you two names. Elijah Mitchell out of Louisiana goes about 215 pounds, but he's 5'10 and a half. He's a strong downhill ball carrier who shows excellent short area quickness. He's got a teammate by the name of Trey Ragus. Louisiana is going to be drafted. Both of those guys are fifth, sixth round picks. And then let's go back to another Michigan guy. I have no affinity for Michigan. I'm not an alumni or anything, but I'm going to mention his name. Chris Evans. Chris Evans is a kid who in 2018 looked phenomenal. I mean, just showed flashes of brilliance. Sat on the sidelines in 2019 because he was academically ineligible. Came into the season, was given second-round grades by scouts because they liked him so much. In 2018, they expected big things from him. Was basically hot and cold, as was the entire Wolverine offense last year. Again, like Nick Eubanks, the tight end from Michigan, Chris Evans is a guy that's got an abundant amount of upside. It's just tapping into that upside as a 5'11", 219-pound back with outstanding quickness and getting him to play at the level he's capable of on an every-down basis, you could have a steal there in the sixth-round area.
Well, Tony, we could keep you all day, but I know that you have plenty of other stuff to get to, but we do appreciate you stopping by, and hopefully we do get to see you at the Combine next year to catch up in person. But our guest has been Tony Pauline here on The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He's Matt Williamson. We also want to thank Jacob Reck for keeping us on the air throughout this segment. And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.